We're very fortunate to have been commissioned by Genio to conduct the evaluation in parallel to the three projects. And Genio have a mission to try and understand and to learn from all of the activities that they support. And for that reason, the evaluation has been brought in at a very early point in the project development. And we're mindful of that as members of the project team, because our role is to use the data and the learning that we are generating through the process of research and to feed and take every opportunity to take every opportunity to feed that back to the project team so we can help them in their developments. What I'd like today to do is to just introduce to you the evaluation approach that we're taking. We are undertaking this since 2014, and we will be working with these project teams right up till the early part of 2018 to complete on this project. The things I'd like to just give you a sense of today is what type of approach we're taking to the evaluation, give you some sense of our attempt to try and map the project objectives across three hospitals. And as Fiona has mentioned, these are highly complex organisations. They're in a constant state of movement and change. And so capturing and maintaining an understanding of what the projects are doing is one of the great challenges for us as an evaluation team. And so I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank all of the respective project teams for their patience with us as we try to understand what's going on. And then I want to just give you a sense of some of the overview of the baseline findings that emerged in our preliminary analysis in 2014. And these baseline findings are really just to give us a sense of where the hospitals were at as they set out in the journey, in the hope that then we can show that there was an impact over the course of 3 years. And now there is a caveat on that, because dementia care is highly complex, and there are multiple factors that actually impact on the patient journey. So it can be quite a task to show what the impact of one thing has been. So we are taking a multi-pronged approach. We are using a framework for this evaluation called REAIM. And our strategy is to try and understand the multiple complexity of the organizations in which we are evaluating. So we're looking at the reach. We're trying to understand how many people the project is touching in terms of persons with dementia and their families, and of course the staff who provide the care to them. We are also looking at the effectiveness. We're trying to understand what outcome measures are important. So we're looking at things like quality of life and obviously the length of stay, cost associated with this group of patients, because that is something that is obviously going to be of interest as organizations seek to develop their services. Very important part of the evaluation also is to learn from the adoption, how other people are responding to the project, how this project might ultimately be transferred out into other organizations, and what is the key learning in terms of staff development, those kind of things. Lastly, we're looking at implementation. How successful are the various different types of integrated care pathways? And then that particular point at the end is to look at how sustainable are these projects over time. How many of these initiatives that are changed, what will be the factors that will influence whether they have traction or not within the services? So in order to achieve that, and I'm not going to labour on this, but just to say that we are taking data from multiple sources within the three hospital sites. We're looking at an audit of the various different parts and components of the hospital to understand the workings and the activities of a patient when they're in the hospital. We're looking at some of the economic data, so HYPE data, hospital inpatient data is very important to the project as a baseline understanding. We're trying to understand the educational initiatives which are managed and varied across all of the organisations. And we're looking very closely at the experiences of the people who attend the services within the three hospitals and what their experience has been. And we're also looking at service provider experience. So that's producing a lot of data, which we have to work through. And so I'm going to just try and give you a sense of a picture of some of that data today. So just our big challenge at all times is to try and understand the projects, because they're multifaceted. But just to give a sense, all of the hospitals are engaged in an integrated care pathway at different points of size and variability, given and reflecting the size of the organizations. James's, in particular, is at this moment in time, is focused very closely on the cognitive disorder part of the integrated care pathway, and some of the other and St. Blanchardstown and Cork ideas focusing more broadly on the integrated care pathway across the continuum of care. The awareness and knowledge base of the staff providing services are a particular focus of these projects. And so all three of the hospital sites are engaging in a wide-ranging educational program to improve and to target staff for education that might be needed to improve service to persons with dementia. And then all of the hospitals are quite innovative and ingenious, in fact, in some instances, in how they are using their resources to achieve considerable environmental adjustments within organisations that have very, very strong competing demands in relation to resources. But we are seeing a huge amount of activity across the three hospitals under the leadership of these projects in relation to the amount of environmental adjustment that they are achieving. So that's just give a sense. I'm not going to labour this. This is just to show you the level of data that we are accessing in terms of the various different hospitals through the audit, through the economics analysis, and through the interviews with staff and service users. So just to give a sense, first of all, of the organisational challenges at baseline in 2014, facing the project teams as they try to map out and understand the dementia journey within acute hospital care. It is clear across all hospitals that there is an absence of a formalised dementia care pathway. Obviously, there's informal pathways. And there is, across many hospitals, activity to review complex discharges and patients who are in hospital a long time, but not strategies to review persons with dementia in particular. In many of the hospitals, there's a lack of a formal system within the organisation to ensure that all people who are involved with persons with dementia know about the individual needs of that person. There is a lot of activity informally and across professions demonstrating a considerable knowledge of patients, but that whether there's a formal process to exchange that information, it was not clear at baseline. And then the other thing that's clear from across the three hospitals is that there's considerable variation in the ways and approaches that patients who present with issues around dementia are assessed, and considerable variation in the assessment tools and when they're used across the hospitals. Across all of the hospital sites, in terms of the environmental audit that we undertook, we were able to see that there were considerable absences of dementia-sensitive environments across the hospitals as well. We found in 2014 at baseline, when this audit was conducted, as many organisations are facing, that all three of these hospitals were facing challenges in terms of resources and staffing, that many of the ward areas are actually down on staff. And this had impact and potentially will have impact in relation to the release of staff for dementia training. And then the case note audit that we undertook also gives us some insight into what is the state of play in terms of the organisation of information around patients and at baseline, which we would hope then at the end of the project to go in and see if there's been an impact on that. To give a sense, though, of the scope of the cost of the health to the health service of this cohort of patients, what's really a very interesting use is the hospital inpatient episodes data. And so we were able to access that for retrospectively for 2014. And just to mention for people who wouldn't know, this reflects and is recorded at the point of discharge for a patient. So it's when they leave the hospital that they are then entered into the HIPE. And it gives us a sense then of what that cost and length of stay associated with that patient. So when we got the data for 2014 in St. James's Hospital, they were able to identify 426 patients who had a diagnosis of dementia. In Mercy University Hospital, there was 221, and in Connolly Hospital, 338. But what you'll see there in the second column, which those smaller numbers, 39, 19, and 20, those are the proportion of those people who actually have dementia as a primary diagnosis. So again, it confirms what many people on the services know, but that most people who present to hospital with dementia actually present with dementia as a secondary diagnosis, and it's their other diagnosis that is of greater importance or has greater prominence at that moment in time. Again, you'll see that the length of stay for a person with primary or dementia as a secondary diagnosis is significantly longer. And you'll see that the costs associated with the patient across the three hospitals reflects the extent of the length of stay across those hospitals. So just to pick out a few interesting statistics there, in St. James's, the median length of stay for a person with dementia as a secondary diagnosis is 17 days. In MUH in 2014, it was 8.5 days, and in Connolly Hospital, 8 days. Many of the things that affect the process and discharge of patients will be reflected in how long those patients are in hospital. The other thing that was of interest is the hospital data in relation to a baseline understanding of what the knowledge and education level of the various staff groups within the hospitals were. What is interesting across these projects is that there's a shared philosophical position that they really strongly believe that they want to raise the level of awareness of dementia and shift staff to more person-focused approaches to care. And so their educational strategies have been designed to try and achieve that. They have various different approaches, level one and two. Level one refers to a general awareness introduction for staff across all care group or all professional groupings and support staff in relation to their awareness of care. And then level two is more targeted education of varying lengths of time from 4 to 3 days that is given to staff who need to have more specialist knowledge. In some of the sites, they're also accessing and training dementia champions. And they have done needs analysis in some of the sites as well to try and understand what they need to achieve. And what they are finding, though, in the Irish workforce is that there is generally high levels of knowledge about dementia knowledge with a positive attitude towards trying to do the right thing for persons with dementia. And that is something that can be harnessed in relation to developing the services. Just to give you a sense of what the experience of the people who've used services and their families and the service providers who are trying to provide that care were, what we did find in relation to the interviews that we conducted with all of these people is that the resource pressures on the hospital are a considerable pressure on the ability of the staff to do a good job, and they do affect the experience of patients who come to the hospital. As might be expected, the admission to hospital, to acute hospital, is a critical point of transition for somebody who has dementia. And in many instances, it is actually a pivotal point in their journey where decisions about whether they get to remain at home or move to long-term residential care are made. But one of the things that is critically evident across the three hospitals is that the transitions of care within the hospital are quite problematic. There are many policies within the hospital in relation to, for example, the six-hour rule, which is to ensure the best and efficient use of beds in the ED and to avoid people waiting in the ED. But one of the negative impacts of such a rule is the considerable pressure on patients to be moved through the hospital. So we do see patients with dementia having multiple transitions within the hospital, which again, we would know from providing individualised care wouldn't be always in the best interests of patients. We do see across the hospitals the pressures from the inability to discharge. So discharge delays are quite common with this group of patients. The fast-paced nature of the hospital environment, as we conducted the interviews, is so evident. And even finding a quiet place to talk to families and to spend time with families is a considerable challenge in many of the hospitals. And so some of the initiatives that are happening to adjust the environmental the environment for patients with dementia will really be well-placed as a result of this project. The other great challenge we were seeing in terms of the experience was the communication with families and the communication between healthcare professions in relation to patients. That is quite problematic as well. I just want to give you a sense, because one of the big things that the project teams are trying to do is to influence the interface in and out of hospital, the in-reach and the outreach. So just to give a sense of the proportion of people from the three hospitals who are actually discharged to their own home. This is of interest because we looked also at the where people come from when they come into these three hospitals. And about 60 to 70% of hospital of patients who come in with dementia to the three hospitals come from their own home. Interestingly, we found that in St. James's that was significantly higher, and that took us into another bunch of analysis. But anyway, but just to give a sense, across the three hospitals, the relatively the same proportion of people are going to their own home. Given the age of many of these individuals who come into hospital with dementia, you will see that there's a considerable proportion, about 15%, 15 to 20% who actually die while they're in hospital. So again, that strength, it underlines the need for palliative care for this group of patients. But you will see there that in the region, I'm just going roughly here, 25 to 35% of these patients at the point of an acute hospital admission will actually transition out to long-term care. So it shows where this, where these journeys are happening for patients, and that the acute hospital admission is a significant point of transition for patients. So that's kind of, I just want to also give you a sense of what the three major conditions were that we were discovering for patients who were admitted to hospital. And we had to go back to ethics to get this kind of data. But one of the things that we when we first looked for ethics, we looked to understand and to study the persons with dementia. But then as we tried to understand that data, we realized we need to look at that in the context of people, older people in general. So this is the data from MUH where we were able to compare the length of stay for persons with dementia who are over 65 and those who don't have dementia. So you'll see that the length of stay for persons with dementia is significantly longer, 13.2 to 7.7. And we were able to see that there are some episodes of more prolonged length of stay, 10.9 to 3.9. Just there's a lot of information there, but the three top conditions that are associated with people coming in that we were able to detect from examining the DRGs was respiratory infection, conditions associated with urinary sepsis, and syncope or collapse are the three principal causes. So just to take a little bit closer look at a couple of those. This is the length of stay for people over 65 who have respiratory infections and who are both with dementia and without, and you just see that the length of stay is 9 days. It's quite comparable for those who have dementia and no dementia. But when you look, for example, at urinary infection, we'll see here that the length of stay is significantly longer. And those of us who are familiar with dementia will know that this is a particularly challenging diagnosis for patients with dementia, urinary sepsis. And so that's just an example of the data that's available through this process. I'm just going to finish up here with just a little bit of a snapshot. One of the things that came out and wasn't in our original plan for evaluation was this interesting concept around cost of specials across three hospitals. And the level and quality of data that's available to study is different across the hospitals because it's recorded in different ways in hospitals. But this is just an example of what we've been able to learn in relation to analysis at St. James's. The one thing to talk about is that one of the great successes in the improvements of care for persons with dementia is the reduction in the use of antipsychotic drugs, but with the result then that there is a greater need at times to ensure the safety of this group of patients within a hospital. So you will see that these individuals here at St. James's, there were 80 of them who consumed specials in the year that we were able to get the data. And you will see that the median cost of a special for a person who's admitted with dementia is about $5,000. But the overall spending on specials, 37% of it in St. James's, is actually for persons with dementia. So it's a considerable outgoing for all of the hospitals, and so they'll be interested in it. The total cost of specials at St. James's in 2014 was $3.4 million, and the amount spent on the person with dementia was 37% of the total. So it just gives a sense of the cost associated with this group, and it gives us a sense of what the resources that have been applied. So just to conclude, again, to thank the project sites for their assistance as we try to conduct this evaluation in parallel to their activity. We are continuing with our analysis right up till 2018 for Connolly to accommodate those changes. And thanks very much.